My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
More on the Falcons coming off of a weekend in which we lost a couple of guys that were going to get plenty of snaps for us. How did the Falcons adjust? We've talked about our Braves as well, and more about that coming up next hour with our man Grant McCauley. Most embarrassing loss, I think, of the season when you lose to the Rockies in the fashion we did, Mike. To have the lead, to blow it late in the game, it was another gut punch for us Braves fans.
Just inexcusable. I mean, let's be honest. Most fans go, oh, Luke Jackson coming in to mop up. Can't screw – oh, wait, hold my beer. You know, then Jimenez comes in. It was just terrible. And, like, I mean, poor Snicker. He's got one more year left on his contract after this. Reports maybe he may retire. He may retire after this season with this nonsense.
No doubt. We will get into it. Stay there. We're live at Hooters. We are at the Taj Mahal Hooters, guys. That's what we call it right here at the Mall of Georgia. Hanging out. We'll be here not only today until 7, but also Wednesday and Thursday. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Listen, as we gear for the NFL season, we're getting ready for the college football season as well. Today, the top 25 AP comes out. Surprise, surprise. Georgia is atop of the poll. And I want to start there, Connor, as Connor Riley joins us from Dog Nation. I don't know if it's just become expected. Dog fans see their team, you know, every year in one or two or one or... And, you know, Kirby says, listen, we don't look at that stuff. And I asked you this a couple of weeks ago. But does this put more pressure on the Dogs to get off to the start that we expect them to against Clemson now that the AP poll has come out?
I don't think so. I think this team understands the sort of world that they live in where, you know, this is a Georgia team. They've only lost to Alabama since the end of the 2020 season. Like, that's the only program to beat them. They know that. Every week they go out there, it's the opposing team's Super Bowl, and that they have to play at least at a very high level, and if not to their best level, to win on a week-in, week-out basis. I know there are some people out there that think Ohio State should have been the number one team after the offseason they had, but I think this Georgia team understands the expectations. They're going to say all the right things publicly and say they're not motivated after how things turned out last year, but they know they were one of the four best teams on that last Saturday, and because they lost to Alabama, and they would readily tell you this as well, because they lost that game, they say they probably didn't deserve to be in the playoff. But this year, with a 12-team playoff, with the talent that they have, even at some of the question marks that they have to face, one of those being a very difficult schedule, this is a team that expects at the end of the year to be the number one ranked team, in addition to being the number one ranked team to start the year.
Our man Connor Riley, guys, with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline live from Hooters in Mall of Georgia. So I guess if you're a big money booster who sits behind the glass at Sanford, you got to watch practice over the weekend. And, of course, you know, those boosters, Connor, they're going to talk.
Yes, they are.
And then word comes out that Kirby was really getting after it and getting after some of the players and on both sides of the ball, it sounded like.
Yeah, this is just sort of the world we live in nowadays. You're paying for access, and so you get to see practice. And it was a hot one here on Saturday in Sanford Stadium. A lot of players, I think, showed out. Obviously, the veterans, your Carson Becks, look good out there, which you always want to see. But I think one of the guys that has really become a major talking point and one of the big takeaways from the early part of August, this Georgia running back room, and Nate Frazier in particular, freshman out of California, played for that storied modern-day program. With him in there, he's got an extra gear that I don't know if anyone else in the Georgia running back room has. When you add him, and you add Trevor Etienne, Branson Robinson ahead of schedule. And this was a running back room where I think a month ago most people felt like, okay, the addition of Etienne, you have some freshmen, we'll see what they get out of there. So far through camp, this is a running back room that sort of resembles the running back rooms of old where you had Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and DeAndre Swift back in 2017 or even 2014 when Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb shared a backfield together. It's early, and yes, they have some questions to the wide receiver position in addition to some talent there, but this is a running back room that feels like a closer step to what we saw at the early part of the Kirby Smart era rather than what we have seen in recent years with Todd Monken and control of the offense.
What should we know about Mike Bobo at this point? Tell us something that you feel like Dog fans maybe don't know, or how has he added to this offense? How has he improved Carson Beck? What do you think his message is, and where are we at with Bobo?
Yeah, one, I think it's important. Like, there are people out there that are going to believe that Mike Bobo is never going to win, that they're always going to have an issue with him. And like, there's nothing short of winning a national championship. And even then, I think if Georgia wins a national championship, which I do, as we sit here today on August 12th, expect them to do this year, people are going to say, oh, well, they won in spite of Mike Bobo. So Ignoring those people and getting them out of the way, the rational conversation about Mike Bobo. Last year he came in and, yes, had to replace Todd Monken, a great offensive nine, now the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Georgia averaged 40 points a game last season. They're one of two programs in the country to average 40 points a game in each of the last two seasons. USC was one, and Georgia is the other one there. And it's a offense that is always going to look different. And part of that is Kirby Smart and what he looks for and what he wants. But this is a team similar to what we see at the NFL level. They use a lot of pre-snap motion. They try to get their athletes in space, move them around, get them in advantageous positions, because the reality is Georgia has better athletes than most teams in college football. And so, yes, the Alabama game, Mike Bobo wasn't happy with how that went. He owned that in the bowl game last year, and to a degree, he still had to own that. I think part of that is, you know, Amarius Mims goes down early in that game. Brock Bowers wasn't healthy. Ladd McConkey wasn't healthy. Injuries aren't an excuse, but that's just sort of what they were dealing with that day. And if you look at him and the work that he does over the course of the full season, implementing new clips, implementing, you know, RPOs and things like that, this is a very modern offense, and it's a very different offense, even than when he was here last as the offensive coordinator at Georgia. So going into year two with Carson and building an offense around him, because I do believe he is the offense's best player, he's going to find ways to get the most out of Carson while continuing to add elements like a deep vertical passing attack that they weren't quite comfortable with a season ago.
Our man Connor Riley, guys from Dog Nation, you're talking about the Dogs. Got to talk about some jackets too, because Brent Key doing a big, big job on recruiting the number two offensive tackle in the country.
Yes.
They steal him from Ohio State. I know a couple other folks, Florida State, were looking at him as well, a kid named Josh Petty. But what can you tell me about the Christian Garrett kid from I guess, right there near Athens? And he's going to be going to Tech, or is that not confirmed yet?
Yeah, he's still undecided. He decommits from Georgia last night, but it sounds like Georgia Tech is in the prime position to land Garrett when he ultimately makes his decision there. And look, Brent Key, not a sexy hire. He was on staff there under Jeff Collins. Jeff Collins flamed out in spectacular fashion, and it's a meat and potatoes kind of guy, but Brent Key worked at Alabama under Nick Saban, you know, with never overlapped with Kirby Smart, but I think he has shown an understanding of like what he wants to build in a program. Has done, I think, a really good job in the transfer portal. He's done a really good job identifying the right types of players that fit that Tech program who can come in early and play an important role. And I think that was a big selling point to Josh Petty. You hear so much about alignment and the importance of having an athletic director and a coach with that kind of vision. Brent Key fits that. And what I enjoy hearing as a native Georgian.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So the way that he talks about that rivalry with Georgia, he's not afraid. He's not afraid to talk up Kirby Smart. He's not afraid to talk about how much he hates Georgia. And to me, that kind of shows that he gets it at Tech, that he understands the culture at Tech and what is necessary to, I think, ultimately be successful at Georgia Tech. Because, you know, yes, it's the ACC and it's a step down from where the SEC is, and we don't know what the future of that league looks like. But it's not going to be hard, in my opinion, with so many teams in there, where if you get your ducks in a row, you can contend for a playoff spot. There are going to be teams this year in the ACC, because I don't know how great Clemson is, and we'll see about Florida State with all the turnover they have. Someone's got to win that league. And I'm not saying it's Georgia Tech this year, but they're going to be able, going forward, I think, to contend in that league because of Brent Key's vision, because of a certain toughness, being an offensive line coach that he brings. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that they're going to get close to Georgia, but with what I've seen from them and the way that they've played Georgia in recent years, they're getting closer to being in the right direction and at least being competitive on a year-in, year-out basis.
Hey, just real quick, as a follow-up with the ACC, I know we spent a lot of time focusing on Game 1, which, of course, is Clemson. Should Georgia fans, and as you mentioned, Mike Bobo, be a little bit worried about how much veteran leadership they have and, you know, defensive players that return from that Clemson D?
Look, that Clemson defense is going to be good. They have guys, Peter Woods, Barrett Carter is a senior linebacker, as good as anyone in the country. That's going to be a great test, in my opinion, for this Georgia offense in terms of what they're going to be able to do and how they're going to go out there and attack. They have NFL-caliber athletes at multiple levels there on that defense. Where I get concerned when it comes to Clemson is on that offensive side of the football and just, you know, what if this game looks like what that game in 2021 looks like. I think Georgia's offense this year is at least on paper better than what that 2021 one was. But again, with Clemson, you got to see it. And the last time Glenn Schumann had time to prepare for a Garrett Riley coach team was in the 2023 national championship game against TCU. And that game was 65-7, if I recall. And so I think Glenn Schumann's going to have that defense dialed in. But I think when Clemson's on defense and Georgia is on offense, that is going to be an NFL caliber matchup in terms of the way those two teams go about it and try and see who can get the best that day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good day, though, for Tech from a recruiting standpoint, and that's where it starts. I mean, Kirby came in and said, I'm going to recruit like crazy.
And I need to get bigger on the line, and they got some big guys on the line.
And he did, and look what it's turned into. Consistency is still through recruiting. I'm a true believer of that. I know we love the portal. You can supplement your roster. You ain't building a championship roster through the portal. You still have to recruit.
Amen, brother.
So, great stuff, man. Tell the people where they can find your stuff at.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConOReilly. We are now officially, or as of tomorrow, we will be closer to Georgia's third game of the season at Kentucky than we were two SEC media days. So season gets closer every day.
Right on, baby.
Cannot wait, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And the Dogs, again, AP poll comes out number one over the Ohio State, which a lot of people didn't expect that. All right, Connor, we'll talk soon, man. Take care, buddy.
Yep, looking forward to it.
All right, man, we're coming back. We're going to hear from Ra. That's Raheem Morris. We're going to hear from Jerry Gray. He is the secondaries coach for our Falcons. We're also going to hear from Rook, Mike. They had a chance to speak today, and we'll let you hear what they had to say as they continue to prepare for the Ravens on Saturday and the rest of the preseason. It's coming up on Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell's Dog Report featured Connor Riley, and Dog Nation is brought to you by the Tour Championship. Get your tickets today at tourchampionship.com. We are live at Hooters, guys, hanging out. Mall of Georgia location. Mike, we were at practice today. And again, you know, this is kind of one of those things where you come off the weekend. Guys got a little time off. They played Friday. They'll play again on Saturday against the Ravens. But, you know, you continue the work. You're still trying to get the work in. And, guys, they were live. They went 11-on-11. Again, Kirk Cousins looked good, dropped a dime to Darnell Mooney.
You say it every day. Mooney's making plays every day.
He is, man. And I think, you know, offensively, again, we probably – this may be unfair to Falcon fans because we are seeing a lot more practice today. Again, no fans. We know that. But we're seeing consistent play with this offense that – we talk about, and then you don't get to see because they're not playing in the preseason.
And you didn't get to see it. I think what's frustrating for a lot of our Falcon fans we're talking to on the text line here at the bar, what you saw on Friday night was, you know, it wasn't great. If we're honest, it wasn't great. We didn't run the ball well. We rushed for 81 yards. Penix, you know, he didn't get a touchdown, but he dropped a dime into Blair. There were some good things and bad things, but Penix was good. I mean, maybe not as exciting as some of the highlights you saw on NFL Network for some of the other rookie class, but that's just tough because you didn't get to see the scrimmage stuff in Miami, in the workouts, where apparently we were kicking their butts in the trenches. Didn't get any sacks in that game Friday night. You know, that's something, you know, we talked about. We did get a pick, though. You mentioned King, but a beautiful play. Maybe should have had two interceptions. That's a positive. But you're right. We saw today the run game. So, you know what we saw the last couple of days? Bijan looking like Bijan. I mean, Bijan Robinson, like bing, bong, bing, rabbit, getting through that hole and making guys miss and just using his burst and his athleticism. We're scoring in the red zone. So, Ebikadi blow up a play.
Yep.
So, Algier do some of the same things we saw Algier do 2 years ago. So, there's a lot of good things that are happening there. And Kirk Cousins, you said it, dropping dimes to Mooney. I think today, one example of Penix, you and I always, you say, pull. Penix is kind of – he gets confused by a look. I asked Dave Archer what was going on in the play. And Archer, he said it's just he's learning on the job. Ball needs to come out a little bit quicker. And he'll learn. He'll be able to sort of diagnose what's going on and get the ball in the hands of the playmakers sooner.
I think that's
the rookie curve.
Yeah. And, again, you're playing four quarterbacks. There's just things you're trying to evaluate. Whatever it is that you're looking to do, to Mike's point, I really think they try to get that accomplished in the joint practice. I really do.
So it's just tough for the fans because all you saw was, you know, okay,
yep.
Kind of a grind. But there are things that they're getting the job done, and there's good things that are happening in practice. Now, one thing which has got a lot of people really fired up today is they want the Falcons to go call the Jets and get a trade for Hassan Reddick. And you and I said, yeah, we'd love it. Be the best defensive player we'd had here in years. You know, I mean, he'd be the best pass rusher we've had since John Abraham. Problem is, Carl, he's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
You can make anything work. We all know that. You can do anything you want to make the money work, but where does it put you down the road with the cap?
Well, I would say this. You know, for everybody who talks about making a trade, okay, like this, number one, what are you trading, right? You're trading potential picks, futures.
Right.
Number two, if you felt like we needed help at corner, and we do, right, then they haven't yet gone out and even addressed that. So I would slow my roll with, I get it. It would be interesting to see him on a Falcon football team, but we have a need at corner where we've been saying, are these guys going to be good enough? And they have not even gone out, Mike, and looked at the veterans that are out there to attempt to sign them or even bring them in for a visit.
Right.
The reasoning behind that, as I was saying to one of our listeners, is the timing of this. With the CBA, these contracts become guaranteed for certain guys over a certain amount of years in the NFL. So when you start talking about bringing a guy in, and for example, somebody said to me, well, listen, why ain't nobody else signed Justin Simmons? There's a reason. He's an NFL vet. The contract becomes guaranteed,
right.
And you have to be careful about the timing of these things.
It's the things that Brian McFadden's been telling us about.
So be careful about nobody's being interested. All these teams are playing by the same rules. So they are just waiting this out, Mike, from a cost efficiency standpoint. It doesn't mean that these guys won't be playing or that a team won't give them a shot, but the Falcons are no different. So I only say that to say the Hassan Reddick situation is different because you're trading for him. And right now, I don't know if the Falcons want to give up draft capital for a guy and then come out of $30 million.
And Justin Simmons, along with Jesse Bates, that's a nice piece. That's a two-time Pro Bowler. But again, Carl said that there's a time and a place for it. That's some Brian McFadden is saying. That's why all those great corners are out there sitting there on the float for the same reasons about the contract and the language of it. One thing, I was going round and round with a guy who I guess does a lot of Madden, franchise mode, and he was telling me how we should be cutting half the team to make room for Hassan Reddick. Guys, part of the reason we got in trouble with Matt Ryan and Julio was when you move money around to create cap space, Matt was the only viable option. Then you get beyond his usable years to where it's a big hit against the cap, but you're not getting the production. And if you move money, let's say, for instance, you restructure Grady, you restructure Jake. How many more years? I'm not sure if he means spirited, just the reality of it. You could restructure Jesse. He's got three more years here. You could restructure Chris Lindstrom, but it does get you in a situation which, after a while, if you don't mind your P's and Q's, I think everyone just expects the cap to keep going up.
Yeah.
Like a stock, you know, going to the moon. I'm just saying, guys, and I'm just giving you the reality of it. You know, if I was a general manager, if I was Fondo, I would go get Hassan Reddick because most of our second-round picks are busts, and I would have no problem giving a second-round pick for a proven star. But the money's got to make sense.
Let's hear from a couple of guys from today's practice, Mike, including Taylor Heinicke. Listen, I don't know how this is going to look 3 weeks from now, what the quarterback situation is. Rook, right, was the kid that quarterback from the CFL? Gone after this weekend.
Rook got gone. You guys, how serious are the Falcons? We just got rid of the Canadian of the Year.
Yes, that's true.
Two years ago. That's what they call the MVP.
So, you know, they bring back a guy that they were familiar with. And my point is this has been a quarterback carousel right now.
For the three spot.
It really has. Heinicke was talking about finding timing despite the limited snaps. Listen to Taylor Heinicke.
Again, you get very limited reps with new guys that you're throwing to. So those reps that you do get, you have to feel that rhythm. You have to feel the timing with those guys. So like you just said, when you're in the game, you really just got to trust that timing. This is just practice. We're just on a different field. Like, it's a different team. So, we're really looking forward to this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, sloppy play, though, Mike. I mean, you know, Coach talked about it today. Turnovers 2-2, right? We had two. They had two. Heinicke talked about the sloppy play. Josh Paddock is the backup. He's the kid they brought back in after releasing the Canadian Player of the Year.
Undrafted free agent from Illinois who we saw. You know, it's funny because we thought Paddock looked good, and then the only thing Rourke could really do was run. He had, like, the biggest from the line of scrimmage run. I think it was 21 yards on a scramble. By the way, real quick, just as a sidebar, we play the Steelers in week one.
Yeah.
Fields was coughing it up all over the place in the first game. He couldn't get the snap from center. I mean, if you're trying to beat at Russell, Russell Wilson, you got to play better than that. I mean, like, I know Russell Wilson might be a prima donna, but Fields, you know, first chance to impress Coach Tomlin and the Steelers fans, that was a fail.
He played well, but the ball security was a failure.
And Tomlin talked about it.
That's the problem. So you can complete passes. He did a really good job reading the defenses and all of that, Mike. But you had basically two botched fumbles that they recover. Okay, they weren't
lost possessions.
But it puts you out of scoring position. Right. Those are things that kill you in games. So, yeah, you got to clean that stuff up. I thought he played well, but those botched fumbles didn't help. Let's hear from Brandon Dorlis, Mike. He says he feels like he needs to be more of a complete player and talked about it today.
I mean, that was, like, the biggest thing for me is to, like, show that I could play the run. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the whole time I was in college, everybody talked about Dorlis being a pass rusher.
Yeah.
So, like, biggest thing for me, I want to be also known as, okay, if you could throw him in there, he can stop the run, too. I don't want to be just a third down guy. I want to be every down guy. So, the biggest thing for me was to prove everybody here is I could play the run.
Well, let's hope so, because now with Trice out, again, who are these rookies? Who in this rookie class is really going to step up? That's a big question mark.
Man, we started the show talking about it. A guy that you got to hear exclusively here a couple weeks ago was Braylon Trice, guy that looks great, is a leader, was a captain on that Washington defense, and, you know, said it earlier to Carl, that's another part of making that game sucked. You know, we already losing a bunch of guys to injury. We've lost DeMarco Helms. We lost Rondale Moore. And now you lose Braylon Trice, a guy that we thought was going to have a chance to be, I mean, a very impactful piece in that rotation as far as outside linebacker edge rush.
One more soundbite for you here. We'll talk more about the Falcons coming up at 5 o'clock in our Falcon Report. On the way, we've got some guy talk for you. Also, we're going to talk to Grant about the Braves continuing their West Coast road trip. Rook Oro. Talking about the effects of the injuries on this team. He was asked about it. This is how he responded.
It definitely does, because, you know, you carry the weight of your brother. You know, some of our brothers went down, and you can't do nothing. It's already happened, but you just can't do nothing but pray for them and just keep them in good spirits, because times like that can be tough. So just as long as they know that you're there for them, it makes me feel better knowing that they feel better.
Yeah, it's tough for a guy who hadn't started his career. If you're established, Mike, it's one thing.
Yeah.
He's starting back from zero next year.
That's what I was saying earlier, man. It just sucks knowing that you can't have that impact and get your first year under your belt and really help this team. Guys, again, as Carl said, it's tough. You didn't get to see him in practice. We've seen this guy look the part in practice, and he sounds the part too. He's a leader. That just sucks. We really feel for the dude.
Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, what's that line? What was the George Costanza joke that he tried to use that nobody laughed at? Hey, I just called the jerk store, and they're all out of you. That? All right, well, we got a lot of jerks coming up in Guy Talk. The biggest jerk. Is it Austin Dillon for wrecking two cars on his way to a win he had to have at Richmond? Is it Guy Fieri, who charges $70 for two chicken sandwiches? Is it Noah Lyles, who a lot of folks feel does not have COVID? Or is it or is it Matt Kuchar for being 12 shots back and making people come back to watch him hit two shots? Jerks, next.
Amen.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta. Where the players play live here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. We'll be back here on Wednesday and Thursday as we wrap up our Dukes of Bell residency for 2024.
Literally.
And they'll get us back here later in the year. Got some of our usual suspects. I don't know what this one guy with the beard does for a living, but he's always over here.
He's always here.
Independently wealthy. But anyway, we're hanging out here and lots of fun. Appreciate you guys. Here's the theme, though, for this edition of Guy Talk. What's wrong with you? Are you just a jerk?
Are you a jerk?
Start with NASCAR. Race at Richmond. Austin Dillon needed to win the race to get into NASCAR's playoff. He was winless this year. Let me give you the background. You won't like him when this happens. He is the nitwit grandson of Richard Childress.
Yeah.
Again, if Richard Childress isn't his grandfather, he's not in NASCAR. He wrecks two cars. Started with Joey Logano, who a lot of NASCAR fans don't like because his dad is rich also.
Yes, he
is. But he did earn some championships by having actual talent, unlike Austin Dillon. He takes out Logano. And what even makes this even crazier, he takes out Denny Hamlin. Two cars for the price of one. Gets over the finish line. He even had his spotter on the radio apparently yelling, "Wreck him!" Okay, that's – people have the scanners, and they record that stuff. So, you know, it's kind of like hard to refute that.
When it
you
is.
The scanner go, here you wreck them. Anyway, here is a very unhappy Joey Logano and what he thinks of Austin Dillon.
It's chicken. There's no doubt about it. He's four car lengths back. Not even close. Then he wrecks the 11 to go along with it. And then he's going to go up there and thank God and praise everything with his baby. It's a bunch of BS. It's not even freaking close. I mean, dude, I get it. Bump and run. I get it. I didn't back up the corner at all. He came in there and just drove through me. It's ridiculous that's the way we race. Unbelievable. I get bump and runs. I do that. I would expect it. But from four car lengths back, he was never going to make the corner. And then he wrecks the other car. He wrecks the 11 to go with it. So what a piece of crap.
Wow.
He is. Austin Dillon is. I don't think he's. I mean, he's had five race wins in his career, Carl.
I think he's a jerk.
He's a jerk.
I think he's
again,
a jerk.
There's fuel mileage races, a lot of stuff that he's won. Like, he won Daytona. Hell, everybody's won Daytona. Derek Cope won Daytona. But as far as. That's restrictor play
that's
racing
true.
Back in the day. But anyway, if you know the backstory on this, it is kind of funny. And then his grandfather tries to defend him. And the irony of this is Joey Logano goes, "Oh, watch. He'll be praising God and carrying his baby." Which is exactly what he did. He grabbed his baby, they hand the child to him. And then he goes out and he says, he literally says, "Well, you know, I was racing and but I had to do what I." Yeah, just say it. The only way you're getting in the playoffs is you're going to take the two cars out in front of you. I've watched every conceivable angle of this. I know that Mike Johnson and Squidbilly were talking about this morning on the morning shift. Austin Dillon, big boo, chump move. Guys are saying, "Yeah, Earnhardt did that." Yeah. Earnhardt is one of the greatest to ever drive, and he's got more talent in his pinky than all of Austin Dillon's entire career, and his brother for that matter.
That's true. That's true. I agree.
And I've seen Dale. I was at the race in Bristol where Dale Sr. dumped Terry Labonte and then sheepishly said as he was getting booed in victory lane, "I was just trying to rattle his cage." But seven championships versus Austin Dillon. I'm sorry, dude. You're not getting the benefit of the doubt. On to jerk number two, or is he a jerk? If getting the most for food in a restaurant business is being a jerk, I mean, some would say it's a profit margin. Guy Fieri. Now, I can take or leave some of his restaurants. I've been to the one in Louisville, and it's a lot of fried food, and some of the appetizers are good. I never really noticed the price range. Apparently, today, there's a man in one of the Dallas stores, and apparently he's in an upscale mall.
Yeah.
goes to Guy Fieri's place and has a chicken sandwich, has two chicken sandwiches, two waters, and then gets the bill. And it comes out to $70.
What was the water, $30?
Well, it was good old-fashioned Texas tap. It wasn't like he ordered a Dasani or an Evian. The guy then goes to video. There's a cardboard cutout on the wall of Guy Fieri. He walks over to him. We couldn't clean this up because there's too much cussing. But he goes, this guy, two chicken sandwiches and two waters, $70. Are you blanking kidding me?
He's right.
He goes, this guy's a blank blank. Yep. Right here, this guy. He goes, blank you, Guy Fieri.
It's the cardboard cutout, right?
It's a cardboard cutout. Well, it's trending. Just Google Guy Fieri, you know, expensive chicken sandwich.
It is ridiculous, man. I told you, he's got one in Vegas, obviously. He's got one in the airport of Cancun. And we went in there, we're on our way back to the States, back to Georgia, and we stopped and we're like, have a Guy Fieri burger and a couple of fries.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, bring me one of those big beers. And the guy was like, one of those? I was like, yeah, one of those. And the dude comes back out, and he brings his big mug, and my wife's looking at me. I'm like, this is great. And then he brings the bill, and he goes, taps me on the shoulder. Yeah, the mug is yours. What do you mean?
Wait a minute. They didn't tell you that it's a collector's mug?
No.
You're gonna
Guy endorsed it, right? It's got his name and his signature on it. I'm like, how much is the mug? He's like, oh, I think it's $40. You think it's
$40? $40?
Dude.
Did it come from Waterford Crystal in Ireland?
This is my point. So, yeah. Mike, to this gentleman's point, I'm like, so what am I getting out of here for? Two burgers, two fries, and a beer. 120, what?
Plus tip.
I'm like, come on, guy. Come on, guy.
Expect the unexpected.
Come on, guy. Too much.
Look, I've never had a problem with Guy Fieri. I've seen him in some NASCAR races, but that just seems like highway robbery.
It was.
But that's on the server. You gotta let me know that this is gonna be. You know,
well, that was the thing. They're promoting it. They had all these mugs out, right? And they're like, you can get this size, that size, this size, and I'm like, okay, cool. What I didn't know is all I was paying for was the damn signature.
Right.
This mug is in my basement in my bar. I've not used it since I got back home. And literally, I got on the plane. I'm like, where do I put this? It didn't even fit in my bag.
All right, so we all agree. Jerk and jerk.
He's a jerk.
Jerk number three. Now, I knew this guy way back when he was coming up through Georgia Tech, and he was always kind of a unique soul. I think a lot of folks lost respect for Matt Kuchar after he won the tournament in Mexico and wasn't prepared to give the standard 10% tip because this was a caddy that was a freelance, and he just basically stiffed the guy, gave him some money, but not even remotely close. I don't think it was even like 2%.
The only reason he did that, Mike, is because he got outed.
Yeah, somebody called him out on it. Well, if you didn't see the end of the Wyndham Championship, meanwhile, there's a British golfer named Aaron Rye who's really been grinding. If you've been watching some of these lesser-known tournaments since, you know, the majors are wrapped, this guy's been really close. Well, he finally punches through and gets his first victory over here in North America. It's a good win. But Matt Kuchar stinks. He was a part of the last group. He just completely goes El Foldo. It's getting dark out, but everyone in his group, they're playing as a threesome because of weather.
That's right.
He said they all agree to hit their tee shot. After he hits his tee shot, he goes, that's it, I'm done. They're like, the marshal's like, excuse me? He said, yeah, I'll come back tomorrow. I'm done. Because it was the light was fading.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we've seen guys in this situation. He can't even remotely compete. Now, I guess he doesn't want to hit a couple more double bogeys, lose more money on the leaderboard.
Sure.
But a lot of folks are going, even Jim Nance is incredulous, like, what the hell is going on? And then Trevor Immelman's like, I did not hear the horn blow, because if it's too dark to play.
Right.
Anyway, he winds up finishing himself by himself today to finish out and hit the final four shots. He issued an apology because he realized he was getting
–
Rick Riley said it was a hashtag DI move, and a lot of folks around the world are saying this is just bizarro world. So he apologized on social media, but the damage is done. A lot of guys said, what are you doing, making all the people – or the people have to come back out while they're disassembling the bleachers and you're out there hitting your last three shots?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm a little perplexed. Like, who makes that call? He shouldn't be able to make that call.
The other partner said, yes, it's getting dark. We're going to finish. He says, no, I'm coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's weak.
Strange.
That's
and then finally,
jerk.
G-Money, our man Gordon here and I, we were talking about this earlier. I was arguing on Twitter earlier in the week defending Noah Lyles. I don't know anything about track and field. I'll be the first to admit it.
Did he have COVID, right?
Well, did he?
Uh-oh.
Because a lot of folks now, who of course are not doctors, but it's social media, are saying if you have COVID and you're going for the 200, you're going for the double, why do you come out? And his routine is to get the crowd amped up. But some would say if you're suffering from COVID and you're weak, just get right in the blocks and run your 200. Don't expend all the energy by running around like a chicken with your head cut off before the race starts. So that was the first thing we had. People going, what? Then he loses the race, comes in third, and then literally does the, oh, and then he's dead and he's got a, and they know he's got asthma. So a lot of folks are giving him the benefit of the doubt. Well, then just less than 24 hours later, he's in a club dancing and the video's gone viral.
Oh, come on, bro. Come on now.
We are showing the aforementioned video to Carl.
Come on now.
So a lot of guys are saying, you won the 100, okay, photo finish, 200 you lose. All of a sudden, I got COVID. You know, you fall, wheel me out on a wheelchair, and then a night later, you're out there dancing like you're Denny Terrio.
Yeah.
So I will say, I'm going to reserve judgment until I get the facts. Does he or does he not have COVID? But Noah Lyles trending towards jerk.
Yeah, I think we're 4 for 4 at this point.
Or there you go, or 3.5 out of 4, and that is your guide talk. Brought to you by Dukes and Bell.
He's
hey, man,
a jerk, Bob.
Hey, Stinger, you are tripping. It was a miraculous recovery.
Yeah.
Start calling this guy Lazarus.
Well, here's the deal. To your point, if you have COVID and you've got all those other issues, you're not in the club getting on like that.
Right.
I'm with you. I don't care if you're in Paris, okay?
Right.
You're not
right.
doing all that.
And I was defending this guy against Euroweenies who were on Twitter, but now I feel bad. I feel maybe I shouldn't have done that. Hey, man, get your Dukesville Hey Man Ale is on draft right here at Hooters and all around Atlanta.
Please do. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, Falcon Report, we'll hear from Jerry Gray, assistant head coach, defensive backs coach for our Falcons, as he was talking about how important these preseason games are for the rookies. And a lot of people saying, why the hell are we playing our rookies? Well, when are you supposed to play them? I get it. We'll talk about the injuries, the update on potential signings. The Falcons have a lot going on, man. We'll get into it coming up next.
You're a jerk. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.